Securing a good reputation. Acquiring and keeping a good reputation can be a difficult thing to do, and the evidence for that abounds. On the national political scene, James Tallarico, a Texas candidate for the U.S. Senate, several years ago, while running for the Texas state legislature, decided to go vegan in order to promote animal welfare and fight climate change. But now he insists that his current Senate campaign practically runs on Texas barbecue. So it's out with the tofu and in with the brisket. This raises the question, which is better, a candidate who has sincerely held woke beliefs or a candidate who adopted an outlandish worldview a few years ago because he thought it was fashionable and is now jettisoning the worldview because it is no longer convenient? Neither option speaks well for James Tallarico. The realm of business is affected by challenges to one's reputation as well. Governor Ned Lamont has taken aim at the eight-figure pay of Eversource chief executive officer, claiming the CEO of Eversource's $13.5 million compensation last year reflected a 19% raise. The CEO is making 94 times what the average Eversource employee earns. In 1960, the CEO average to employee pay ratio was only 20 to 1. And now we're asking people to subsidize the company even more? Paul Schott's report explained the furor illustrated that while large company shareholders generally express few objections to CEOs' earnings, corporate giants should expect more skepticism from elected officials and the general public about the huge income gaps between top executives and rank-and-file workers. The rank-and-file workers at Eversource earned about $144,000 a year, which isn't too bad either. The legacy media has reputation issues as well. Scott Pelley's firing from 60 Minutes by editor-in-chief Barry Weiss was marked by comments on several reputations. A letter by Mark Godburn of Norfolk in the Republican American added his politically conservative view that many 60 Minutes staffers, just as liberal and arrogantly entitled as Pelley, applauded as he publicly tore into Weiss and Bilton. Weiss and Bilton very properly stood up to Pelley's abuse and fired him. The long-running show is full of entitled liberal activists and media celebrities masquerading as neutral journalists. Yet Mr. Godburn added, Pelley claims that Weiss brings an ideology into CBS News that is a thumb on the scale for one political party over another. Even the best of coaches in the realm of sports can find it difficult to keep up a good reputation. Gino Auriemma, coach of UConn's women's basketball team, with a Hall of Fame win-loss coaching record 2 months ago at the Final Four in Phoenix, was all worked up into a fit of anger. His team's perfect season went up in smoke with a national semifinal loss to South Carolina, and he stepped into a national conversation about his behavior for the way he stepped toward Dawn Staley, the South Carolina coach, in the post-game handshake line. And, of course, we all know about that. So we ask, what advice would God have on obtaining and securing a good reputation? Well, God's wisdom, his chokmah, or his fixed eternal moral order for success and blessing, applies to many issues of human need, including the need to secure a very good reputation. So we view Proverbs translated from the Hebrew Bible in the Hebrew biblical text on the book of Proverbs on avoiding a bad reputation and securing a good one as follows. Now, a good reputation is very valuable. Proverbs 21, verse 1 asserts, a good name is to be preferred above great riches. Favor is more wholesome than silver or gold. Now, that's an interesting statement because the implication is that if you have a good reputation, it is something that is valuable towards providing for your livelihood. If you have a bad reputation, that can really hurt a livelihood. So it's more valuable than silver or gold. Silver or gold is what you use in spending for purchasing things. So it's important to have a good reputation. Well, negatively, to avoid a bad reputation, one must avoid certain behaviors. It's interesting. You can't just go out and act as a salesman to sell yourself with a good reputation. You also have to make sure that you're doing away with those things that are bad. Because a bad reputation or a bad statement about a person's reputation can hurt far more than a lot of good things. So to avoid a bad reputation, one must avoid committing sin. Proverbs 18:3 says, "When wickedness comes, so does contempt, and with disgrace comes scorn." And the idea is contempt and disgrace and scorn, those are all things that follow sin. And then Proverbs 10:7 claims that the name that represents one's reputation, the name of the wicked will rot. That means that it'll begin to get worse and worse and worse as time goes by. So we need to avoid sin. Then to avoid a bad reputation, one must avoid being quick-tempered. Proverbs 20, verse 3 states, "It is an honor to a man to cease from strife or cease from arguing, but every fool bursts out in arguing and contention." So it never works to go ahead and burst out in an argument and lose our temper. We need to, you know, the Bible says, be angry but sin not. Don't let the sun go down on the wrath. So there has to be a control in the issue of anger, even righteous anger. Then to avoid a bad reputation, one must avoid working deceptively to oppose other people. Proverbs 14:17b claims that a crafty or a scheming man is hated. Boy, this is so true. The best thing to do when we're relating with people is to be very forthright, very transparent, so people can read us and see what our motives are. Then to avoid a bad reputation, one must avoid being ruthless towards other people. Proverbs 11:16 states, "A woman of kindness gains respect, but ruthless men gain only wealth." So a ruthless man might be very powerful, and by means of his ruthlessness, he might be able to become wealthy, but that doesn't make him have a good reputation. A woman who is kind wins a lot more by a good reputation than a man who's very strong and can get a hold of his money. To avoid a bad reputation, one must avoid being perverted in his thinking or twisted in his thinking. Proverbs 12:8 claims, "A nobleman is praised according to his insight, but men of twisted or perverted minds are despised." Once again, the way we think, we have to think in a very straightforward manner, very clear-cut manner. And if we do, that helps us a lot. To avoid a bad reputation, one must avoid being treacherous. Proverbs 13:15 claims, "Good sense or understanding wins favor, but the way of the treacherous is hard." A treacherous person is a person that doesn't have good sense, doesn't have good understanding, but they're actually dangerous and they can harm. Proverbs 24, verses 8 and 9 states, "He who plots evil will be known as a schemer, and then such schemes of folly are sin and lead to mockery, and men detest a mocker." And then to avoid a bad reputation, one must avoid the sin of pride. This one comes through big. Proverbs 18:12 asserts, "Before his downfall, the heart of man is proud, but humility comes before honor. And it is not good to eat too much honey, and neither is it honorable to seek one's own honor." Proverbs 25, verse 27. And Proverbs 29:23 states, "A man's pride brings him low, but a man of lowly spirit gains honor." I'll never forget, while running track in a track meet, there was a kid when I was in high school. He showed up. He had one of these honey bears, and he thought, "I'm going to have a lot of energy so that I can run." So he downed the whole thing. Well, he got very, very sick, and of course he couldn't run the meet properly. But too much honey, you know, and trying to bring too much honor to ourselves will backfire. And then to avoid a bad reputation, one must avoid being in a hurry publicly to criticize other people. Proverbs 25, verse 8 claims, "What you have seen with your eyes, do not bring hastily to court. For what will you do in the end if your neighbor puts you to shame?" And Proverbs 25, verses 9 and 10 teach, "If you urge or argue your case with a neighbor, do not betray another man's confidence, or he who hears it may shame you, and you will never lose your bad reputation." In other words, it's risky business to accuse others publicly in court. And you know, it's risky on a person's reputation just to accuse another person anyway. You have to be very, very careful with that and to avoid having to be in the position of accused. If you are in a situation where you're forced to say something that is negative about a person, then you have to be very candid and very clear, especially in a court of law. Very important. Well, positively, to secure a good reputation, one must perform certain behaviors. To secure a good reputation, one must cease arguing with others. And we mentioned this in a former proverb. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3 states, "It is honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will break out in quarreling." I don't know of a single situation where just getting into an argument helps, even if your position is correct. If you argue about it, the very fact that you're arguing is a detriment. So sometimes the best thing to do is just to remain quiet. Two, to secure a good reputation, one must be righteous. Proverbs 10, verse 7a states, "The memory of the righteous will be a blessing." And then to secure a good reputation, one needs to be kind. A woman of kindness gains respect. Proverbs 11:16. And then to secure a good reputation, one must acquire insight. A nobleman is praised according to his insight. Proverbs 12a. And insight is something that a person gains by doing a lot of study and working and whatnot. And the more you better know that way, especially as a nobleman, the better off you'll be. To secure a good reputation, one must acquire good sense or prudence. Proverbs 13:15 claims, "Good understanding or prudence or sense," the Hebrew word is sekel, "wins favor." And then to secure a good reputation, one must be humble. It's better to be lightly esteemed and have a servant than to pretend to honor oneself but have no food. Proverbs 12:9. In Proverbs 18:12, humility comes before honor. In Proverbs 29:23, a man of lowly spirit gains honor. I was listening to a baseball game here not too long ago, and the pitcher has, I think, the lowest earned run average in the American League, and is very, very low. And he had played a real good game after, and they interviewed him afterwards, and it was very interesting. He says, "Well, I'm going to have to." I have to clean up something in my pitching delivery. I didn't pitch exactly the way I wanted to. He's very critical of himself. And everybody's sitting back there amazed. He has the lowest ERA in the entire major leagues. But here he is critiquing himself. He's working at it. He obviously was a man who was humble. He was being very honest with the person who was asking him the question. And he wanted to work hard. He knew he could do better. And that's refreshing. So the lesson is, to avoid a bad reputation, one must not sin, not be quick-tempered, not work deceitfully, not be ruthless, not be perverted in thinking, not be treacherous, not be proud, not be quick to raise and criticize other people. And to secure a good reputation, one must cease arguing, be righteous, be kind, acquire insight, good sense, and be humble. So the first thing we need to do is... in application of the Word of God, is to take the information that we receive from the Bible and gain good understanding. Number one says, and this is the understanding that comes from John 3:16 and 1 Corinthians 15:1-11, "May we trust in Christ who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin, that we might receive God's gift of eternal life." I never know if someone's going to show up in our worship service who doesn't know Christ as their Savior. Or there may be someone who has attended our worship service for many years and still doesn't know Christ as their Savior. I once heard of an evangelist who, after having ministered, himself accepted Christ as his Savior. It almost sounds unbelievable, but that's true. So if you're here this morning and as yet you haven't believed in Jesus Christ, you need to know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He was buried. He rose again from the dead. And by faith in him, God applies the atonement of Christ on the cross to your account. And if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will be given eternal life. You'll be saved from hell. And you will be made a child of God. And I would encourage you to make the decision today. The Bible says that appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. We don't have a second chance beyond this life, and none of us knows how long we're going to live. Something can happen, and we could be in eternity a week from now. So I would encourage you, make the decision today if you haven't believed in Christ. And then number two, may we heed the book of Proverbs on avoiding a bad reputation and securing a good reputation by relying on the Holy Spirit for behavior control. Galatians 5:16 says, walk by means of the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the sin nature. Now, to illustrate the message and provide additional guidance, we apply specific appropriate proverbs in our sermon to the issues of concern that we mentioned in our introduction. And I'd like to do that right now. Regarding the United States senatorial candidate James Tallarico's political switch from claiming to be a vegan a few years ago to boosting Texas barbecues today, Proverbs 14:17b warns against scheming such switches because all that does is hurt a reputation. You know, the best thing a politician can do is to run on a platform he really believes in, or she really believes in. Run on that platform and stay with it. Don't play around with it. Don't try to develop one platform and then switch back and forth, because people, after a while, they learn that you're not true blue. People today want to trust someone who's trustworthy, and they prefer to vote for a person that is trustworthy and consistent. On Governor Lamont's critique of the high pay of Eversource's CEO, Proverbs 11:16 calls for kindness and not ruthlessness to have a good reputation. For a good reputation, companies, CEOs, and may I add also elected officials, should not extract undue money from consumers or taxpayers in consideration of the public that pays the bill. See, the state of Connecticut has hired Eversource and utilized it, and the state of Connecticut adds a bill to your electric bill that is sharing and passing around monies to push other forms of energy. So part of the bill that we have is something that's due to because of this Connecticut state legislature. It's not just Eversource's entire fault. So I think the blame needs to be spread around, not only to Eversource's CEO, but to the legislature as well and the governor. On Barry Weiss's firing of former 60 Minutes CBS correspondent Scott Pelley and the conflict that then followed, less pride and more humility, as Proverbs 12:9, 18:12, and 29:23 teach, would ease the situation all around. It would be refreshing to see someone who is in the news media suddenly become humble. Boy, it's been a long time since we've seen that, not only in the news media, but in politics and leadership. There's a tremendous need for humility today. And then on UConn coach Gino Auriemma's outburst at South Carolina's coach Dawn Staley in the post-game handshake when UConn was upset by South Carolina, the solution is the Proverbs 20, verse 3, call to cease arguing. And I'm happy to report that Gino Auriemma has profusely apologized for that outburst. I can understand you're a coach and you're pushing very hard for your team, which has a perfect record to go all the way once again and to win the national championship. And it's very hard because your emotions are right up there. And in the moment at hand, he lost control. But he did the right thing. He came back and he apologized, and he said that Dawn Staley is a good coach, and Dawn Staley has honored Gene Auriemma too. They've both have made amends that way. But that's what we need to do. We need to cease arguing. Probably one of the most difficult things for a coach to do in a situation like that is following the game to go back and shake hands with the other coach and say, wonderful game, you played an excellent game, you all played us, or something like that. That's hard. Especially if you think that the game was thrown because of one of the refs and whether it made a call. That can be very, very difficult. But a believer in Jesus Christ is called upon the Lord to do that. So may we trust in Christ, who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin, that we might receive God's gift of eternal life. And may we heed the teaching of the book of Proverbs on avoiding a bad reputation and securing a good one by relying on the indwelling Holy Spirit to control our behavior. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word and for the way it deals with very practical issues that we face in our lives, and how we're read and how we're understood, how we're viewed by other people. is very important. It involves our reputation, because a reputation can open a lot of doors, and a bad reputation, of course, can close a lot of doors in regards to opportunity and friendship and fulfillment in life. So it's very important that a good reputation be preserved and that be developed as well. We ask, Father, that as believers we would rely on the Spirit of God for the behavior that we need, that we might obey the Word of God for a good reputation. And we know, Father, that we need to have a good reputation with the unsaved world around us and people that we're seeking to come to know as Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to be careful to make sure that we relate well to those people as well, and that we're controlled by the Spirit of God and function in ways that are winsome to other people, as was our Lord Jesus Christ. We also ask, Father, that if there's anyone in our midst this morning who as yet has not received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that hopefully, Father, before the day's out, they would make the commitment to believe in Him, that they might have eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.